Tucked into the Office of Management and Budget's ambitious plan to reorganize and restructure the government, there's a significant but generally overlooked section on organizational efficiency and effectiveness. But it's this portion of the April 12th memo focusing on the mundane ideas of alternative delivery models, streamlining mission support functions, and leveraging existing solutions for common requirements. Well, that includes some of the most realistic and achievable goals. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about why there is so much potential for change, and he joins me now with more. So, Jason, what is OMB calling for in that section on organizational efficiency and effectiveness?
It sounds so much fun, doesn't it, Tom? I mean, you know, delivery models. But really what they're saying here is agencies look at things like shared services, even things like insourcing and things like outsourcing. Look at things, the initiatives that really could transform the way you deliver services both to internally, meaning to the other employees, as well as externally to citizens. And I think, Tom, the fact is that they're calling this out and they're laying out a whole host of options is a really positive sign for agencies. They're saying, we think we can be more effective and efficient. It says it right there in the title. Here's some ideas of how, but you come tell us how you think, based on your knowledge of your agency, how you think you can be more effective and efficient. And I think that the reason why that this has so much potential, Tom, is kind of twofold. First, it's not mandating a one-size-fits-all. I heard that many times from the experts I spoke with who said, listen, too many times administrations come in and say, do this, whatever this is. You know, under the George W. Bush administration, there's a lot about outsourcing, competitive sourcing. Under the Obama administration, it was a lot about centralization. And what they're saying is, yes, all that could work, but and here's some other ideas too. So I think that's one. The second reason why I think it's important is the government has made so much progress around things, and I'll just use shared services as an example, is they have the Unified Shared Services Management Office at GSA. They have some experience with financial management, with HR, with payroll. And over the last 15, 20 years, they're not just starting from page one. They're really well deep into the manual of how to do shared services. Right now, they're not going to be perfect, but they're not starting from square one.
And the people you talk to are saying this is the time right now to take advantage of the efficiencies that they can get.
Exactly. Now, I spoke with Alan Shvatkin from the Professional Services Council, and he made a very interesting comment about this memo being clearly written by knowledgeable insiders. And that was his quote. What he's saying there is these are not written just by political appointees or new to government types, but people who've been there and done that. And as I've done some research and talked to some people, what I'm finding is that the career people, people like Dustin Brown, who's the acting OMB Deputy Director for Management, or Mark Rieger, the acting OMB Controller, or Leslie Field, the acting OFPP Administrator. You see the theme here, Tom? Acting.
Yes, it's like a SAG meeting. There's so many actors out
there. There's so many actors. But the point is that you have the career folks who have now are in these acting roles because the Trump administration just hasn't gotten to appointing political appointees yet. So they were the one that's leading this charge. And then on top of that, you have someone like Linda Springer, who is not an acting. She's actually a senior advisor and a political position. So you're bringing in her experience of the last 25 years or so in government. You have all this other experience. So you really get a good push and an understanding of the art of the possible. And I think that's key.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And there's also a section in there mandating the use of existing government-wide acquisition contracts, other multiple award deals. And interestingly, the GAO just came out with a report on talking about the spending patterns of IDIQs, some of which are multiple awards, some of which are not. But why do you think the administration is highlighting those particular contracts now?
This is a really interesting section because what they're doing is two things. I'm going to read this to you. So the language is lawyerly, if you will. But it basically says, to the maximum extent practical, agencies shall use existing contract solutions such as federal supply schedules, government-wide acquisition contracts, multi-agency contracts, and any other contracts intended for use by multiple agencies, including those deemed best in class.
Sounds like they don't want people wasting time creating new vehicles.
Correct. And I think that's the big takeaway. Contract duplication is costing agencies and vendors millions and millions of dollars every year. What they're basically saying is there's enough out there, justify why you need your own contract versus you'll just do your own contract anyways. The Obama administration tried to tackle this unsuccessfully with some business cases, but by the time they got to the business case, they had already decided what they wanted to do. So it was not a heavy lift. Plus,
yes, there was that period of GWAC proliferation arguments, right?
And there was this whole thing, Tom, that says, well, you're unique, I'm unique. If you don't stop me, I won't stop you.
And we still had GSA coming out with all of its array and NIH coming out with all of its array
NASA
coming out with its array.
So the question then is how do they reduce the cost and the time it takes. Look at existing contracts and then take advantage of them. And I think while that has a flavor of category management, it's also not the category management initiative that the Obama administration folks were doing. So I think, again, they're mixing old with new ideas that have been around for a long time and giving agencies a number of tools in their big toolbox and say, pick the best, but be efficient and effective.
So this is great for people that like to improvise.
In some ways it is. I mean, because what OMB is not doing is say, just do it this way, no ifs, ands, or buts. Now, no administration's that rigid, but at the same time, let's do a comparison to the Obama administration. I mean, one thing that Roger Waldron talked about, he's the Coalition for Government Procurement president, he talked about the idea of the market is buying in a different way. And the government should react to how the market is buying and selling and shouldn't try to do something that the market is no longer doing. He's not necessarily saying category management was a bad idea or the Obama administration was going down the wrong path. But what he was saying was a lot of times they're trying to fit the oval peg in the round hole instead of just saying, well, what is the round peg and can we put it in the round hole that makes sense for both government and industry?
And Jason, you're also writing about the Office of American Innovation under Jared Kushner, presumably, and you're writing it similar to an Obama administration initiative. And tell us what you found there.
One of the first things when I started reading the memo and heard about this new Office of American Innovation jumped out, the first thing that came to mind, Tom, was the President's Management Advisory Board, what they call the PMAB. Now, under the Obama administration, this started in 2010. The idea was bring in private sector experts to give the government some advice. How are you doing it? How could we do it? That's very similar to what the private sector is doing. And so I reached out and actually got in touch with one of the members of the PMAB who wanted to only speak on background, unfortunately. But what they were saying was the whole idea was identify the best practices that work in Fortune 500 companies and see if you can apply it to government. And I think in many ways, even though we don't know a lot about what the Innovation Office is doing, it sounds very similar. And I thought it was worthwhile to point out that let's not reinvent the wheel here. You want to call it a different name? Call it a different name. But a lot of these things have been tried. So how can you learn from the past challenges and go forward? Tom, look, one of the big challenges, I talked to Tony Scott, the former federal CIO. One of the things he said was, listen, the PMAB's advice was thoughtful, it was useful, but sometimes, on occasion, not necessarily realistic. There are certain things that in the private sector challenges the government has that the private sector doesn't.
And I thought it was instructive that right after this Office of American Innovation was announced, that during his daily press conference, Sean Spicer mentioned, there was a lot, I read the transcript, he said, we know that government is not a business. That doesn't mean there's nothing we can learn from business. So it's not like they're saying government has to be like a business. I think they have a good nuanced approach there.
I think that's the type of thing that's learning from experience. I think when they came in initially, I thought the Trump administration thought we would run it like a business. You know, President Trump is a businessman. And I think everyone, you know, the George W. Bush had the same thing. The first MBA president, he learned the same thing, that there are certain differences between the two. And even the Obama folks, they brought in a lot of McKinsey people, consultants, same thing. Oh, this is a little different. So it's good to see that recognition. And I just hope that things like the U.S. Digital Service, 18F, those organizations who came out of the PMAB in some ways, understand, you know, brought private sector experience, can bring those lessons to this Office of American Innovation and say, here's what we tried, here's what worked, and here's what didn't.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Be sure to read his notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.